Welcome back to 32 Fans. I'm Alex Chester. With me, as always, is Wheels Wienerker. Wheels, Chag Sameach. How's it rolling?
Yeah, how's it going?
It's going pretty good. Our podcast is down one potential guest moving forward.
What does that mean?
It means Jordan Kalish has received a lifetime ban from the podcast.
Oh, but this time he actually really has to be banned because we banned him last year and then we let him back.
All right. So briefly to review the draft. In last week's podcast, we had Jordan go up against Ben Standig, go up against 32 of our listeners, or I think like 29 or 30, because a couple people picked twice. Jordan and Ben were giving their mock drafts, and we would see who had the pick that ended up being the most off. And Jordan had five picks that were further off than any pick by Ben, and the worst of all was Chidobe Awuzie, the cornerback out of Colorado, who Jordan saw going 29th to the Packers, a pick that ended up being traded to the Browns, and in any event, Chidobe Awuzie didn't go till 60th at the very end of the second round. 31 spots off.
Okay, that's not even so bad.
Yeah, it's not terrible. It's better. Yeah, it's better than last year. Jordan was heavy on the cornerbacks. I'm looking. He had what? 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7. I think he had 7 cornerbacks taken in the first round, which is a lot, and is more than were actually taken. So yeah, so
it could have been worse.
Pretty well.
His team could have drafted safeties in the first round and the second round.
Yeah. What are you eating, by the way?
Don't worry about it.
No, you criticize me for eating.
I didn't have a big dinner, so I'm kind of hungry.
What are you eating now that I've piqued my interest?
Yeah, just like a snack.
All right. Why are you not telling me what it is? Now you're making
me... I want my kids to know, like, let's say I'm eating their food.
Well, your kids listeners to the podcast?
No, but they might hear me through the wall or something. I don't know.
Oh, they're not at some kind of Yamatsumutsu celebration?
They are. They just left.
Do you have any other hot takes about the draft? The Vikings, obviously, they got Delvin Cook in the second round, who was, you know, most people thought would go in the top 15 or so, or top 20. So that was pretty good for them, I guess. I'm not exactly sure what their plan is in the back.
They didn't pick Joe Mixon. That has to be exciting for you.
Yeah, at least, they picked a running back who is not a criminal, so that's good.
The Jets are like 20 good players. Other than a quarterback, they're like an entire offensive line, an entire, set of cornerbacks, an entire set of tight ends. They have 35-year-old running backs. Like, there's so many players away, it's insane. So, who cares?
Yeah. And by the way, the draft, with all these running backs going fairly early, Fournette, obviously, Christian McCaffrey, who, might be more of a slot receiver, we'll see, et cetera. It's just part of the reason why I thought that anybody taking a running back outside the top 10 in our League of Leagues draft was crazy. Because, like, for example, if you took Latavius Murray on the Vikings, is he the starter now? Is he splitting time with Cook? Who knows, right?
He's probably not the starter.
My guess, and again, this is very speculative this early, I would say that Murray, I would have to assume, is better in pass blocking, just, because he's got a little bit of experience in the NFL. And he'll probably be the goal line guy because he got like 12 touchdowns for Oakland last year. But yeah, but Cook is clearly the more dynamic guy and has more upside, I would assume. But it's all irrelevant if they don't have an offensive line. So,
right, like I have Jeremy Hill and the Bengals have Mixon, but like he could be in jail by week one, so I'm not even nervous.
Yeah, but even as it is, Jeremy Hill's, Jeremy Hill is, to me, like a worthless guy in fantasy because, his floor is he'll get like 45 yards a week, but his ceiling is like 80 yards a week, right? Because he's splitting with Giovanni.
But he gets so many touchdowns. Latavius Murray was picked in the League of Leagues before Giancarlo Stanton. That's pretty early.
Yeah, way too early. Not by me, obviously. So Jordan Kalish, we love you as a listener, but unfortunately, you've received a lifetime ban. Now, is there any way to get out of a lifetime ban? Is there anything you can do?
I can't think of anything.
Nothing? All right, if anybody has a proposal for a way that
what
Jordan
if
could buy
if him. You got us like an A-list guest?
Define
who would be our dream guest on the show?
I don't know. I'm asking you.
Like, who would be, I guess Bill Simmons, if we could like talk to Bill Simmons, I think that would probably be our biggest get.
What would we talk to Bill Simmons about?
I don't know. He'd probably steer the conversation towards the Celtics.
Why are we talking? I feel like, I feel like it's more likely we could have, like, Barack Obama as a guest than Bill Simmons.
I would rather have Bill Simmons than Barack Obama. Like, I would rather have Bill Simmons than Donald Trump. Like, I'd rather have, he's more relevant for this show.
Yeah, what's Bill Simmons going to say that he doesn't already say on his podcast? He's going
to
say
it would just
dumb.
Be fun to have him. I don't know. We could probably make fun of him. He wouldn't have
that. Yeah, so
well.
When I went to his book signing in Boston, when his book of basketball came out, and, everybody started having a chance to chat with him.
Just so, because Chester won't mention this, Chester read Bill Simmons' like 800-page book of basketball and then compiled the list of like 150 errors in the book and had
a
meeting
way too low an underestimation.
Okay, but the story is true.
It was the most poorly edited major publication book I've ever seen.
Had a meeting with Bill Simmons' editor to like go over corrections for future versions of the book. Do they implement your corrections?
I mean, I didn't go through and check each one, but I did check like a later edition, and most of them had been corrected, so I assume they had. I'm sure I wasn't the only one. It boggles the mind.
Oh yeah, I'm sure you weren't the only one who read the book and met with the publisher to help fix the book.
But it was the most poorly edited major.
Well, it wasn't edited. When he was
a joke.
An editor.
But, and his defense in the foreword for the updated version is, oh yeah, we had to get this out so quickly. Like really, this was like a time sensitive book. Ranking like all-time NBA.
No, I think you do want to release it like playoff time or a very specific part of the year. I get it.
What? No, it was. But he had been working on
a normal book
years.
Like that. Would
he
be
could
like,
waited and
have like a
he
year.
Could have waited another year then if it's a timing issue.
Yeah, but
I mean
that's a lot of
Aaron
money.
Gleiman, my favorite Twins blogger, podcaster, etc., editor in chief of Baseball Prospectus now. So he finished a book on the Twins like a year ago, and he explained on his podcast the reason it hasn't been published is they're waiting for the Twins to become slightly more relevant, to publish it. They finished the month of April above 500, so that's good. But I don't think they're gonna be publishing it anytime soon.
Mm-hmm.
By the way, you mentioned League of Leagues. Noah Syndergaard, a big injury to the first place Chester Cantor team.
Oh, I feel terrible. Your team has like 14 strikeouts per 9 innings, and your ERA is literally a point and a half better than the second place ERA team. So
yeah, because Irvin Santana, we're riding him hard. Irvin Santana has been the best pitcher in the American League since the All-Star break last year.
Yeah, I'm sure that's going to last forever.
Well, I mean, it's been lasting for a little while. You're as a Mets fan, can you tell me, will Syndergaard pitch again this season?
Yeah, he'll pitch again. It's not. I was looking at a stat of like how many days the players with that injury have missed. Very common, like 46, 47. There's a bunch of people in that. So I'd say he should be back at the very latest.
By
right?
The All-Star break?
All-Star break, yeah.
Okay, all right. All right, so we can try and survive that one. What else? Anything else we have to discuss? We talk about Bill Simmons. Should we talk about the ESPN layoffs? I know we both have a lot of opinions
about that. Yeah, let's talk about ESPN. I know you had rankings for like the biggest layoffs. You don't have to like really rank everybody. You could talk about like people you care about that got fired.
That was before I heard Mark Stein got laid off. He's probably the one I'm most upset about.
Yeah, now. Mark Stein is a big one. The thing with these guys is a lot of it was probably that they were people who were there for 20 years. They're on a bigger contract than maybe the person of their stature should be on because, you just get... At the very least, like the minor 1-2% raise every year, and then you sign a new deal. But in hindsight, like ESPN's the only place to go outside of, Fox Sports could have one or two people. None of the types of people like the Joe Posnanskis or the Rob Nyers or any of those people who go to Fox Sports or Yahoo ever last there. Because those places are always like figuring stuff out. They only have room for one or two people. So ESPN really has a monopoly. Like there used to be a rumor that like ESPN paid their SportsCenter anchors very little. But they should actually pay them less than whatever they're paying them because there's really no competition if you want to work in sports.
Well, so hold on. Let's take a step back because I don't know if people are all as obsessed about this as we are.
Mm-hmm.
Right? So basically, the way that – and, obviously you and I know this, but I don't know if most people do. Like I was trying to talk to a friend of mine over Shabbos and he didn't know any of this stuff. The way that ESPN makes their money is that – in America, for cable TV, you cannot pick the channels you want. You have to buy an entire package, a bundle, and you pay, $100 a month or whatever you pay for the 80 channels or however many you want in your bundle. And and Comcast or whoever you get your cable from, they in turn make payments to the channels in order to include them in their bundle. And the amount that they pay ESPN is dramatically higher than any other channel on the network. It's like $5 or $6 per subscriber, something like that, whereas others are, 10 cents, 20 cents. So every single person who subscribes to cable, whether they always watch ESPN or never watch, is paying $5 or $6 a month for ESPN, basically. And very simply, ESPN has spent billions of dollars to be able to have the rights to show all live sports, which is the only thing it's worth, it's useful for at this day and age, right? Because nobody cares about SportsCenter anymore. Like,
right.
In the age of the internet, the only thing you need it for is live sports. You're not watching it for SportsCenter or any of their take shows, really. But the problem is that you have all these cord cutters, and people are basically figuring out, especially people of our generation, that you can watch TV without having a cable subscription. And so fewer people have cable subscriptions, which means that ESPN is collecting less money because they have less customers. And that's the very simple only reason why they're losing money. And so, like, for example, like, there's all these idiotic takes about, like, ESPN's politics. And the thing that nobody's pointed out that annoys me is, so, like, some people on the right who think that all the media is left-wing, except for, like, right-wing media. So they think, oh, ESPN's too liberal, and it's their liberal politics that's making them suffer. Or like some idiots in Boston said, oh, it's because of Deflategate coverage. Like, I would argue, if anything, that ESPN has suffered. Like, I would guess that more liberal left-of-center people have hurt ESPN than right-of-center. In other words,
well, I don't think that's true, but ESPN isn't that left-wing.
No, no, no. Well, what I'm saying is, who is more likely to be a cord cutter? Somebody who's a Trump voter or somebody
who's a
Clinton
voter? Oh, I hear what you're saying. I hear what you're saying.
Yeah. So in other words, that most of the people who are not paying ESPN as subscribers anymore are left wing, not right wing.
Right. It's not even worth discussing left wing versus right wing because it's neither of them. The idea it's that ESPN's left wing is insane. Name like three, like Bernie supporters at ESPN. I can't.
Yeah.
If you read like the Deadspin article before the election, who we're voting for? Obviously, none of their 40 or 50 writers said Trump. Only one of them said they like Hillary. Like, a site like that, that's like, everyone is like dirtbag left. Everyone is super far left. ESPN has zero of those people. If that's too far left for you, then go away. Like, that's insane. Yeah.
But Deadspin did make a point. Like, they had letters to the editor or letters to Deadspin of right-wing people complaining about sort of, too many minorities on ESPN, et cetera. And what Deadspin simply did in response to each of those letters, said, hey, can I ask you, do you still subscribe to ESPN? And every single one of them responded and said yes. So in other words, the people who claim that ESPN's too left-wing, they're still subscribing to ESPN. So, and it doesn't matter what ESPN's ratings are. Ratings are irrelevant. What matters is the number of subscribers. And all the people who are Trump supporters are still subscribing to it. So, so politics has nothing to do with it. But the other annoying part is because, again, what they've lost billions of dollars over is the massive costs that they pay the NFL and Major League Baseball, et cetera, et cetera. So firing these guys has no influence on the bottom line whatsoever. I mean, how much money is Mark Stein making a year? $300,000, $400,000 at the most?
They fired 100 guys who are all making six figures.
The total amount of that is still literally nothing for a company that size.
But you still
it's
have
purely
to, like...
performative. It's purely symbolic. It's to make a statement to shareholders, oh, look, we're trying to tighten the belt.
Right.
The only way to tighten the belt is to not, overpay for, the NFL.
The NBA. Play. Well, the NBA is the real overpay.
Well, yeah, but they're overpaying for all of them, really.
Right. I mean, baseball will probably go down next time, especially if there's not
I think they overbid the next bidder by like 20 or 25%, I heard somewhere. So they're massively overpaying, and that's billions of dollars a year. You'd have to fire everybody in Bristol to even come close to that.
Right.
So that's why it's sad, because guys like Jason Stark and Mark Stein are getting fired really for no reason. It in no way will save the company money to fire those people and replace them with, fresh out of college guys who make $50,000 a year.
Right.
That has no
By the way, they
the
should have
–
I wasn't rooting for anybody to get fired, but, they should have fired someone, really unpopular, and then it sort of would have changed the narrative. Like, if they fired Darren Rovell, then people would have been like, all right, they let go of,
they fired Danny Cannell. They fired a couple, sports talk idiots.
Right. They fired some people – you're right. There was only one person I saw who I saw that person stinks and should have been fired years ago, but I won't name her.
You're not a big fan of hers. But again, how much money was she making?
Yeah, at most $100,000. Any other big names like Chad Ford? But he also had a weird plagiarism scandal a couple years ago. That's not even his full time job, so that's not a big deal.
Yeah, but Chad Ford was such a helpful niche. And that's, a lot of these guys, Ethan Sherwood-Strauss is, their Warriors reporter. Why are you firing him right, during the playoffs?
I guess you just get a cheaper one.
But they could have waited. So a couple of my friends thought, maybe they were going to fire Mel Kiper right after the draft. And I don't think they would, because Mel Kiper is such a brand name.
Yeah, I don't think. It wouldn't shock me if they fired Kiper or McShay, but then Kiper's much older.
Well, that was his argument, that they're both doing the same thing, and so why do you need two of them? But
right, and they don't like each other, so they're constantly going at each other.
Well, but I think that's what makes it interesting, right? I don't know. It's just annoying. Not that I hope anybody loses their job, obviously, but a Matthew Berry, for example, will never get fired because I'm sure he gets more clicks on his articles than just about anybody on the site.
Mm-hmm.
But and I click on Matthew Berry articles much more frequently than I click on Mark Stein articles. But let me be clear. It has zero to do with any of Matthew Berry's self-described funny stories or interesting, there's one reason I click on it, which is I quickly scroll through to see his rankings for the week.
Right.
I don't read the article.
Right,
I just look at the names.
Fantasy sports didn't really get hit, if you think about it. Also, the NFL,
that's what I'm saying, because
they have a beat
sports
writer for all 32 NFL teams, and maybe one of them got fired at the very beginning of the whole thing, but They,
but
you
that's
know,
what I'm saying. Fantasy is such a high click rate, but it's not because of the personalities. NFL. They could fire Matthew Barry and replace him with a monkey, and I'd click it just as much.
Yeah, but he's popular. I don't think it's a good argument. Plus, some of these guys are like, if someone's on the contract,
I agree with you. But is he popular because of him or because of fantasy football? I listen to his podcast also.
No, there's not 15 because of guys who do what he does at ESPN. Like, do you prefer the other ones?
I have no. I mean, yes, I do because they don't give their idiotic stories. Okay. I just want fantasy information, right? I just want to know, you know, who's a good play this week, who's a bad play this week, et cetera. Who's injured, who's healthy. I don't need to hear any of Matthew Barry's inanities about, you
all
know.
Right, but other people disagree. Anyway, you should also send them your SAT story.
I'm still waiting for the letter from the rabbi, by the way.
You might not be able to take the SATs? That could be bad.
No, my deadline is May 9th to submit my application. So I texted the rabbi today. I said, you know, just a reminder, I need that letter this week.
I'm sure he's got nothing better to do than your fantasy football.
The funny thing is, in the same week, I asked him to be one of my references for an application for like for this fellowship I'm applying for. So at the same time that I'm asking for something serious, so I said to him, I said, I'm sure that you will not mention this SAT thing if they call you as a reference. and hopefully none of my podcast listeners will be called as references either for that same reason.
Oh, why don't you list me? I'll give him the scoop.
I look forward to his funeral. I'll hit on his wife.
No, I'll say only nice things.
How would I describe you? Podcast co-host. All right, so what else? So we reviewed the draft. We reviewed all the ESPN firings. I told you I wanted to talk about TV. What do you think about that?
Yeah, talk to me about TV.
All right, so, you know, I was on a three-week vacation, so I was way behind on TV. I've caught up on most of the things on the DVR. There's basically two shows that I want to watch or would watch that I have not really watched the last several episodes of. One of them is Last Week Tonight, just because I'm, like, fatigued of, like, Trump stuff. Like, you know, John Oliver's entertaining and informative, but, like, I feel like it's just depressing, you know.
Mm-hmm.
Thoughts on that? And then the other one is Gorilla, a new show on Showtime. Do you know anything about that?
It's like Idris Elba. I've never heard of it. It's Gorilla. I assume it's G-U-E, Gorilla.
Yeah, so it's a show set in London in 1971, and it's about, I think, like
radical. You know, I'm already out. 1971 in London, like, my brain just shut off.
Oh, see,
it could be
I
about like the forming of the Wieniker family. I'm not watching it
because I love period shows. And basically, my number one show, and I guess spoiler alert, but I'll just get to it. My number one show of 2017 so far is Billions. I love Billions this season. I think it's been fantastic. And because I've been in Showtime, so I've sort of noticed the other Showtime show. So Gorilla is the next one which I want to watch. And then they have a new show coming this summer called I'm Dying Up Here, which is sort of like about like stand-up comedians.
Oh, it's Jim Carrey's show. I think it's Jim Carrey's show.
He's not in it. Is he like a producer of it or something?
It's his show, yeah. I don't think he's in it.
Oh, okay. Yeah, I don't know.
Yeah, it looked really bad. I think I saw a trailer that did not look good.
Yeah, but basically, you know, so we are one-third of the way through the year, and if you wanted to know my TV at the third mark of 2017, I have my top 25 TV shows of the year. What's your number one TV show of 2017 so far?
I don't know. I really liked Review, but it was only three episodes.
Yeah, I have Review at number 11 on my list. You know, three episodes. It ended well. But it's done, so.
Yeah. Are you watching The Leftovers?
Nope. Are you?
I'm behind on it, but you can't watch 25 shows this year and not watch The Leftovers.
Well, I've never watched The Leftovers, so. Well, so you want me to tell you my shows?
Yeah, give me your whole top 25. I'm waiting with bated breath.
From bottom to top or top to bottom?
Well, go from 25 to 1.
All right. The bottom is Brooklyn Nine-Nine. I'm out on it. I've quit it. I'm done officially. Sorry, Brooklyn Nine-Nine.
Sorry.
Next is The Americans.
Do you watch Making History, by the way? Is that on your list?
Making History?
Don't you like Adam Pally?
Yeah, he's okay.
Yeah, he has a show. It's very good.
Okay. I'll add it to my maybe list. The Americans. I'm also done on The Americans. Sorry. It's the same. Nothing ever happens. So I'm done.
Are they
the
like still under high, like in hiding? Like people don't know they're spies still? Spoiler alert. Yeah, Shut this up.
I'm two seasons behind on The Americans, and the fact that like I've been seeing reviews about this season, like nothing changes. So I decided I'm out on The Americans.
Okay.
So those two shows I officially no longer watch. So they have gotten the kibosh on them. Moving on, shows I continue to watch. American Dad, you know, it's fine. It does what it's supposed to do. Family Guy, same thing. Modern Family, again, chugging along. It's very background television. Shark Tank, same thing. Roast Battle, we discussed earlier in the year. Highly Questionable, the Dan Le Batard show on ESPN. We've discussed that before. You made fun of me for that. Last Week Tonight, I have a placeholder here since I actually haven't seen the last like six episodes, but Last Week Tonight would be here. Workaholics is, I think they're done, right? They just had their series finale, but they were pretty good. Tosh.0 next. Again, this is all background TV still. Saturday Night Live. Man Seeking Woman, which is pretty good.
That's done, but, too.
Yeah. Better Call Saul. So Better Call Saul, I moved way up, actually. This season is so far the better season of it than the previous two seasons. But the reason I still have Better Call Saul down here at number 12 is the Michael McKean scenes. And you watch Better Call Saul, right?
I saw the first season. I don't still watch it.
Oh. Okay. The Michael McKean character, storyline, scenes, unwatchable. Michael McKean is terrible. Michael McKean is so bad that in Curb Your Enthusiasm, the mere sight of him forced Larry David to move to New York to escape him. Right?
Yeah.
That was the whole like reason why Larry moved to New York for that season, like season 8, season 9, whatever it was. I can't stand Michael McKean. He's so annoying. The character's annoying. He's obnoxious. So I hate that. The more we see of Mike Ehrmantraut, the better, obviously. Now we're starting to see some, you know, no, I won't say any spoilers for people who aren't watching and plan to watch, but we're starting to see some more famous characters from the Breaking Bad world coming into Better Call Saul. And again, the other problem is that because it's a prequel, we know that none of the characters are going to die or have anything significant happen to them because we're seeing them in Breaking Bad. So it removes sort of some of my problem with The Americans is I was two seasons behind and I knew they would never get caught or killed because, you know, they're still on the show in 2017. Yeah. And it's kind of the same problem with Better Call Saul. Like, it's a beautifully filmed show for sure, but the Michael McKean scenes really drag and there's sort of a not a lot of drama. So, but it's better. This is their best season so far. So I have them up to number 12 on my list. Then we have Review. Then we have Girls. I don't know if we discussed Girls, but I thought Girls ended really strongly. I don't like Girls, really, but number 10 on my list. This is the highest I've ever had Girls for a season.
Yeah, I actually like the finale. I like the last three episodes.
Yeah, I mean, the idea that H would have the baby is ridiculous. The idea that she would get a job as a professor at a university is insane and impossible, obviously. The idea that Allison Williams would basically become her live-in nanny, also, it makes no sense. So it was, like, preposterous, but it was well done. Elijah became a star this season. I'm a big fan of Elijah. He's probably the best character on the show.
Yeah.
Yeah. Any other girls' takes?
No.
All right. All right, so number 8 on my list, or 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, number 9 on my list, sorry, I'm off one, is Veep. Veep is also... much like Better Call Saul, I like Veep, but think it's overrated by other people. You know, the problem is that, like, now real Washington is even more insane than Veep, obviously, right?
Mm-hmm.
Like, Veep had, like, a former Major League Baseball umpire as the Republican presidential candidate, and that was, like, absurd. And then Donald Trump went and became a real president. So it's, like, Veep has, like, it's such an uphill climb because they were dealing in, like, unreality, and then reality trumped unreality. Mm-hmm. No pun intended. But do you watch Veep?
I've seen it. I've seen the first bunch of seasons, but I stopped watching it.
Oh, you're not even, you don't like Armando Iannucci, because In the Loop, his movie is way better than Veep. And you haven't even seen that, even though I begged you to. And I think I ordered you to, but you never watched it. Next, I have Brockmire. Have we discussed Brockmire on the podcast?
No, but I like Brockmire. It's a really good show.
Yeah. Amanda Peet, obviously, is married to Benioff from Game of Thrones, which is kind of insane. Right?
What about that, though? What does that have to do with the show?
I mean, she's like the co-star of the show.
Right, and Hank Azaria, he's good.
Yeah, I've always loved Hank Azaria. Hank Azaria had a show where he was like a shrink a few years ago. I'm trying to remember what that show was. But do you know what I'm talking about?
No.
Hank Azaria had a show. Let me see if I can find it on his website here.
Huff.
Huff?
Yeah.
Was it Huff? Yeah, sounds like Huff. Yeah, I like that show. I like Hank Azaria in general. So I'm excited to see where Brockmire goes. They're done for the season, right?
Brockmire, is it done? I'm not sure.
Yeah, I thought, their season, they had 8 episodes a season. And
that's it?
Done.
Okay.
Yeah. All right, It's Always Sunny is next. Sunny had probably their best season in like 4 or 5 years.
Yeah, really good season.
The problem is it comes and goes so quickly. It's on TV from like January till February, then it's gone.
It's every show nowadays.
Yeah, but it's really good. They had a few great throwback episodes. Next on my list is another show I think you're not watching yet, Fargo. Fargo off to another great start in season
Again,
three.
Saw the first season. You know, I had no problem. Same thing with Fargo, with Veep, with Better Call Saul. Really liked all those shows. I just, at a certain point, my philosophy is I should only, like, have to watch a show. Like, if I shouldn't, like, watch a show. You know, if a show doesn't really interest me, I'm just not going to watch it because there's only so much time in the day.
Yeah, but Fargo is, each season is so independent. each season has nothing to do with the previous.
I understand. That's why it's easier to let it go. Yeah. If there was like a great cliffhanger, I'd have to watch it.
Yeah, so I liked season one more than season two. Season three is off to a great start. Season two had a little bit, you know, too much fantastical stuff for me.
There are 10 shows on there at least that like I watch at least once. You know, Homeland, Brooklyn Nine-Nine,
well, Homeland
Last Man
ridiculous.
On Earth.
Yeah,
I mean, everyone stopped watching Homeland, but like all those shows that I watched at least one season of, in some cases a bunch, and then quit.
Yeah. What else? So Stranger Things I have next on this list. I know that's a 2016 show, but I saw it after doing my 2016 rankings based on the strong advice and endorsements.
Do you have any interest in 13 Reasons Why or no?
What's 13 Reasons Why?
No, it's like the big Netflix show now, but it's like a teen drama.
So then no.
Okay.
Oh, by the way, not on this list. I forgot to put on this list was Riverdale.
Yeah, I'm not still, again, I'm not still watching Riverdale.
Yeah, neither was I. But I watched like most of the season. So
you know what? I would probably watch the season one finale just to see where it's up to. Like, the difference between Riverdale and all the other shows is I have a very strong attachment to the characters because I was such a big Archie Comics fan for so long.
Yeah.
That, like, I even did check a few weeks ago on Wikipedia, like, all right, what are they doing now?
Yeah.
If they stayed closer to canon of the show, I would be more likely to watch it. Like,
there's
instead
no canon,
of going
nothing. There's no canon. Nothing happens in the current comics.
That's what I'm saying. Like, yeah. They stayed, you know,
I would put it on this list between American Dad and The Americans, I guess. Because it's a show I stopped, so it can't, you know, be above American Dad. But I liked it more than The Americans and Brooklyn Nine-Nine. So, yeah, so that's where I'll put Riverdale. So, Stranger Things I have at number 5. Crashing at number 4. Big fan of Pete Holmes. Big fan of Crashing. I'm looking forward to what
that goes in the next
series. Oh, I love
Crashing.
Yeah.
You know, it was a little unfocused. Like, are we talking, you know, like Lauren Lapkus is here? And it was almost like, who do we have? You know, who's available this week? Is Artie available? Is Lauren Lapkus available? Do we have a big guest star like Sarah Silverman? But it was a really good show, and I'm looking forward to season 2.
Yeah, I didn't love how the season ended. I thought that
it was a little
unfair.
Too ridiculous, right?
Well, they just made the pastor a very unsympathetic guy.
Yeah.
And, you know, I can't speak for that specific pastor, but I assume that most pastors, you know, like most members of most clergy, are well-intentioned, honorable people. You know, there's a reason why Pete Holmes spent most of his life up until, at least in the show, up until, you know, the current, you know, what he's filming right now, being religious. And they make this pastor just such a clown, honestly. And, you know, like, he's so petty, and it just, you know, the way he's sort of talking trash about Pete Holmes and spreading gossip about him when they're praying together. So that part annoyed me a little bit. I thought that they should have been a little more respectful of how they portrayed Pete Holmes's formerly religious life, but what do I know? Number 3, Silicon Valley, best show on HBO by far.
Yeah. Another show I watched like the first season of, and I would totally like it, but I don't
Some parts of it are ridiculous, like the way that, you know, again, trying to avoid spoilers, but the way that he just gave up his entire role in the company that he founded without holding on to any financial interest in it, you know, is dumb, but whatever. All right, number 2, shot way, way high. I just saw all 4 episodes of the new season in the last, like, 2 days, and I had this just in terms of a placeholder. I had it around 15, and I shot up to number 2 because this is its best season ever, is Archer. Archer, unbelievable. I would say that the Krieger reveal in episode 4, in this past week's episode, is the best moment on TV yet this year and is the best non-Game of Thrones.
You think anybody knows what you're talking about with Krieger reveal?
If you watch Archer, what we found out about Krieger in episode 4.
Nobody knows who Krieger is.
Everybody who watches Archer does.
Yeah, you're saying this like it's a familiar person, like it's part of the cultural lexicon.
What we found out about Archer, about Krieger in this week's episode, is the best non-Game of Thrones moment of television maybe this decade.
Okay.
So good. So good. This is a show. Okay, so first of all, I love the movie L.A. Confidential. When we did our movie rankings last year, I had it really high. I love noir. I love, you know, L.A. in the 1940s. And just what Archer blows every single other, you know, animated TV show out of the water, because they show, like, when you're animated, you have no limits. And why not do this? Every season of Archer is a completely different show. And this season is a completely different show from every other season. Basically, at the end of last season, Archer was shot. And so now he's in a coma. And so the entire new season, it's actually called Archer Dreamland. The entire season takes place in his mind, in his dreams, where he is a PI in LA in 1947. So the whole show takes place in Los Angeles in 1947. So it's got like an LA Confidential vibe, but it's also very funny. It also has, you know, references and throwbacks to previous seasons. If you know the characters, you'll love it. But I think you could watch the season from scratch without having seen the previous seasons. You wouldn't appreciate it as much, but I think you'd still really enjoy it. I just love it. Again, I absolutely love what we learned about Krieger. Try not to spoil it in case anybody will watch, but if you know who Krieger's been for 7 seasons of the show or however many seasons there's been, and all of a sudden to discover that Krieger's actually like totally the reverse, he went from like purely, whatever. It's so good. I really like it. Are you ever going to watch a show or no?
I mean, Archer, listen, if the day ever turns to 36 hours, I'd need at least 10 more hours to nap, and then I'd use the other 2 hours to watch TV for sure. So, yeah, I would at that point.
So do you want me to tell you the Krieger thing, and I can edit it out?
No, I already Googled it, but nobody cares.
So you Googled it, you found out his background?
Yeah.
That he's not what we thought. He's actually the opposite.
It says he's
Oh my God, you're ruining everything. Basically, he's been like a again, up until season 8, the show's taking place in like the 2000s, right? So, yeah. Is he little?
But this is a dream, so it's not even true.
None of the show's true. Though it's a pretend show.
Yeah. And then why should we care about any of it?
Okay, so you don't like fiction in general then? You only like reality TV?
That's why I like reality TV. I don't like fiction.
Okay. But in the world of the show, where we're taking everything for granted, it's 1947, so everybody's like a former, you know, has just returned from the war, was a soldier 2 years ago, and they're talking about what they did, and what did Archer do in the war, and what did the white characters do in the war, what did the black characters do in the war, you know, there's racism in the military, etc. I'm going to edit all this out, but it's so good. It was so sad. I'm trying to think of like a better satisfaction. I guess in Game of Thrones when Ramsay Bolton got killed.
So the only satisfactions you could think of is television stuff.
Well, real life is very unsatisfying right now, at least politics is. In real life, I'm about to buy a house, so that's exciting, obviously.
Okay.
Yeah. And then we get to the number one show on TV this year, Billions. I love Billions. I love season one. Season two is 1,000 times better than season one. Giamatti's great. The guy from Homeland, what's his name with the red hair?
I have no idea.
Whatever it is. So good. It's such a good show. Damian Lewis, I think is his name. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Billions is such a good show. Everybody should watch it. I don't know why it doesn't get as much more attention. I think because it's on Showtime. If it was on HBO, I'm sure it would have like, you know, 10 times more, you know, sort of pop culture relevance. But you don't watch any of these shows, so you have no opinions of any of these shows.
Yeah, no. You watch a lot of TV, I guess, is my main opinion.
Yeah, what are you watching in 2017?
I'm watching MTV's The Challenge. It's great as always. Yeah, so good. Making History, I really like. I started 13 Reasons Why, but wasn't doing it for me. I'm watching Survivor, Monday Night Raw. There's some Netflix shows I'm excited that are coming in the next week or two. There's a bunch of stand-up specials that look good.
I've seen every stand-up special on Netflix.
Netflix,
also.
Yeah. This month, they have a bunch of big ones. They have, I think, Sarah Silverman, who hasn't done one in like a decade, and... they also have
the Louis C.K. one. I saw his show in Madison Square Garden, here's the thing. So I saw it. I don't remember the details, but I had pulled an all nighter at work the night before, and I was also really sick. And my wife was like super pregnant and had like restless legs and couldn't even sit. And so we were both like miserable. But because we had bought the tickets so far, like months in advance, we just decided we're going to go anyways. And so I could not stay awake. I was literally passing out. We had to stand in the back because Jen couldn't sit. So we were like in like where they have like the wheelchairs, like the disabled section, basically. It was like such a miserable experience. And so I was watching it on Netflix and my wife was actually there. She's like, oh, we've heard this. And I'm like, no, we haven't. And I just realized like I had no recollection of the show, basically. So it's actually good because
you were literally at the
again.
Show that's taped.
Well, I don't know.
That's not
but
from
I
the garden. I'm saying, is that the garden one or no?
No, but it's the same stand up set. It's, you know, that's yeah.
So Netflix has a couple interesting things coming. They have Master None Season 2, which I think is going to take place in Italy and maybe Japan. That's exciting.
Oh, when's that coming out? I saw Aziz Ansari's on the cover of New York Magazine this
week. Yeah, I'd read that article already. He says, like, there might not be a Season 3, that he's doing a movie first, so it could be years. I mean, it took, like, 2 years for this season to come out.
Yeah.
And then there's...
it's okay. Sort of, it's not that great.
The new Making a Murderer... the first episode, by the way, of Master None, he said, is in black and white and Italian. The new Making a Murderer, which is like
he's trying to like copy like The Godfather.
I don't know. The new Making a Murderer is it's about a nun that gets killed in Baltimore. That's going to be a big thing. That's coming out in like a week or two, also on Netflix.
It's literally called Making a Murderer 2?
No. It's just going to be the next one.
Okay, so I'll get into that, I guess. All right. I mean, do we have anything else to say?
Yeah, some breaking news. We were talking about like why they fired Chad Ford and Mark Stein. And so this had been reported, and I even saw it last week, but I forgot about it, that Woj from Yahoo was coming over to ESPN. So it just got reported during the podcast that he's actually coming over. So that's really probably the reason why they fired Mark Stein, who Woj hate. Woj always like, he openly mocked like Stein and those guys that he broke so many more scoops than they did.
It's interesting. So ESPN is spent because they're obviously paying him more. I mean, he's
well. This was decided like a year ago, also.
That, yeah,
like,
but he's getting paid what, $1 million a year, probably something like that.
Probably, and he's got teammates coming with him also.
Yeah,
it's not just him. It's so, probably like Shams Charania and all those guys.
Yeah,
Jonathan now, I mean, Gavone. They probably fired Ford because that guy Gavone is the draft guy. Like they've got a bunch of guys.
But, oh, is he an international guy like Ford?
I mean, if you do the draft, they have to be an international guy.
Oh yeah, I don't. I've never heard of him, so I don't know. The only non-ESPN guy I really follow vis-a-vis NBA or non-ESPN slash non-Bill Simmons world is Woj. So, but he retweets a bunch of the other like Yahoo guy, like the other guys on his team, obviously.
Do you have any interest in NFL over-unders? They came out after the draft.
Yeah, I saw those. You want to do
the Jets
quickly?
Have a, no, we don't have to do all of them, but the Jets have some competition for first pick in the draft because they're at 5.5. The Browns are at 4. By the way, Jets 5.5. Pound the under so hard on that. I'll tell you my. How about we give a best bet over and a best bet under, and that'll be one okay. of our bets.
What's well, our? I looked at all 32.
But. What's our deficit at? I'll send you the link right now. What's our deficit at right now?
I don't know.
You don't have a chart somewhere?
I gotta go look it up.
You don't have
how
to.
How much money does Akiva owe me?
I have
let's,
two.
Let's say $70. I'm just making
Jets at under 5.5 because the Jets go 5-11 would be like a huge coup. Like I can't even like Hackenberg would have to be a Pro Bowler for him to go 5-11.
Yeah. I think the Jaguars Dolphins, are 5.5.
Dolphins over 7.5. I mean, the Dolphins go 8-8. That's their like basement this year.
I agree with both of those.
The Bears at 5, like that's fair because if Trubisky plays, they're going to go. Actually, Glennon's solid enough that maybe they'd go 6-10 with him. But did you read Peter King's like article about him with the 49ers?
Oh my God. It's just the Bears draft is getting worse and worse.
It's crazy how bad the Bears draft was. They weren't even considering Trubisky.
It's just becoming like comical how
yeah.
How
so
bad,
the Jets' main competition for that first pick is the Niners, the Browns, the Bears, and then according to Vegas, the Jaguars, and I guess technically the Bills. Those are the only teams under 7.5. But
yeah, the
Bills are a little
better.
The Bills and the Jaguars aren't that bad. They're not like first pick bad, I don't think. Yeah. But obviously the Niners are and the Rams.
What are the Vikings at? 7.5?
No, 8.5. Very high.
8.5?
Honestly, yeah. I mean, I wouldn't like best bet the low, but I'd certainly bet the low if I had to bet one or the other. Like it's Bradford's things.
I mean, they're going to go between 7-9 and 10-6, whatever.
At this point, there's not even a 1% chance that Bridgewater plays a snap this season, right?
Well, they don't want him to because if he stays in the pup list the entire year, they roll over his contract to 2018.
Right.
So, and they've already passed on, which is really depressing, but they already passed on the extension 1 year at $11 million, which considering the fact that a Glennon gets $14 million, if there's any chance that Bridgewater's me back to himself, obviously it's an absolute no-brainer you do that. So the fact that they turn that down basically means the Vikings don't expect him to ever be healthy again. So that's very sad.
Yeah, I also like the idea with the Bears that like that John Fox desperately did not want to draft Trubisky, and then he said he
called what's his name, Jeff Fisher,
to ask him
advice.
Funny too.
Yeah,
I would do that too. I would call Jeff Fisher and just like do
is that
the
like a troll job? I didn't even get why he was saying
no. That. All the coaches really respect Jeff Fisher. I'm sure he's going to get hired to like one of the top jobs in the league soon. Like Jeff Fisher, people really respect him even though he's an atrocious coach. I don't know why.
Yeah,
John Fox, like he should have just quit right then when they did that. Or what he should do is start Glennon all 16 games. And if the front office says you have to start Trubisky, just quit.
Yeah, well, people are saying, you know, the Bears GM is like the youngest GM in the sport. And so by taking a rookie quarterback, he buys himself, like he said, 2 bad years. And now he buys himself minimum. They can't fire him this year, right? No matter what happens.
No, you can't. Unless Trubisky is like a one and done ridiculous, you know, but that's
if he like drops out of the league.
No, if he's like a Manziel was one and done.
Yeah, but Manziel had off-the-field issues. If he didn't have those off-the-field issues, he'd still be a third-string quarterback somewhere.
Yeah. Well, there's a lot of decent, you know, there's a lot of, like, big-name QBs not on a roster right now.
I mean,
like
Colin Kaepernick isn't on a roster. Jake Cutler isn't on a roster.
I mean, Kaepernick is so much better than the Jets' 3 quarterbacks right now. It's bananas.
It really is.
Kaepernick could come in day one without training camp or this preseason and start week one for the Jets and easily better than Hackenberg, Petty, and
but
McCagnan.
The problem is, do you want a guy who could drag you to 5 or 6
No,
wins?
God forbid, of course. Like, McCagnan needs the tank. Like, the Jets, that's why the Jets drafted 2 safeties. Like, that, you know, they're good players, but they're not going to win the Jets games this year.
Yeah. Yeah.
I'm confident that a team with the worst cornerbacks in the league, a terrible offensive line, and the worst QB situation in the league is not going to win games. I'm very confident. I'm not worried about the Jets winning right now.
Yeah. All right, Anything else, sir? Are we done with this? When are we doing our takeoff? Is that next week?
Next week is going to be the hot takeoff. Do you have any takes? You got to get your takes together. I think.
Yeah. So how Rob, should we do Rob Cesternino is going to be the host. Is going to be the judge. Explain how this is going to work.
If he's up for it, he will be the judge, the host, and the judge of the hot takeoff.
Okay, so we need to explain. So listeners need to email or send voicemail.
No, it's me versus you, and I think they'll do theirs afterwards. Like, the competition is me versus you.
But I don't really have any hot takes.
Well, if you literally don't have any, we're not doing the hot takeoff. If you can't come up with 10 hot takes this week.
Oh, God. You have so many hot takes, like, lined up. I mean, you're the one who said Tom Brady would never play again after this season.
Yeah, that wasn't good.
Yeah. All right, I got to come up with 10 hot takes. You're going to blow me out of the water.
And then the listeners... email those in. What email? Which they email them to?
And hold on. And how are they being judged? These hot takes.
You can DM them to me. My DMs are open. DM them to me, or you can email my name. Put hot takes in the subject.
Yeah, it's either one of our names. It's our full name at gmail.com. You can send a voice memo. You can send a text. You can send whatever you want. So you're sending us a hot take, and how are we judging these hot takes? By the heat, by the hotness of them? Like, how bad they are? Like, what's the judgment?
Well, definitely not how bad they are. I guess, I don't know if it's by how hot the take is or how good the take is. I'm not sure.
Well, I'm saying, but how hot a take is, that
I guess
means
that's up to the judge. I'm not sure.
The hotter the take, so we're leaving the judge to determine in his own determination, which we will not be privy to. He will determine which is the better take. And we don't know what his determination, what his qualifications
are. I guess. Maybe we could decide beforehand. I'm not sure.
Well, that's what I'm asking. All right, this is in flux, but we will be having a hot takeoff next week. So if you have any hot takes in life, in sports, in politics, in religion, in anything.
Yeah.
If you have a hot take, if you have a take that is hot, that is spicy, that is caliente, that, you know, causes people to gasp when they hear it. Or mutter.
Caliente.
I don't know. If you have such a take, send it to us. Send it to me. Send it to Akiva. Tweet it at us. Email it to us. Carrier pigeon. Get it to us. And we will... Because I don't know if my takes are going to be hot enough, so I just might use the listener takes, and I might just do you versus the listeners.
Should we do me versus the listeners? If you really don't have any takes, we'll do me versus the listeners.
I think that's what we're going to do.
If the listeners have takes.
If I can come up with one or two.
Okay.
Yeah. I mean, I had more hot takes in 2016, I feel like, than I have in 2017.
I only have like 8. I really need to think of like 2 more like absolute fire takes.
All right. Okay. All right. So welcome back to the podcast next week please come back next week for the hot takeoff starring Rob Cesternino. We're just going to advertise it that way. We're going to make it fait accompli.
Well, he hasn't committed. I'm sure.
Exactly. All right, Akiva. Talk to you later.
Bye. I read the body count out of the paper. And now it's written all over my face. No one ever plans to sleep out in the gutter. Sometimes that's just the most comfortable place. So I'm drinking, breathing, writing, singing. Every day I'm on the clock. My mind races with all my longings, but can't keep up with what I got. So I hope I don't sound too ungrateful. But history gave modern men a telephone to talk to strangers, machine guns and a camera lens. So when you're asked to fight a war that's over nothing, it's best to join the side that's gonna win. Singer, if I had someone else's voice, but failures always sounded better. Let's fuck it up, boys. Make some noise!